Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
We're holding on. You know, we've been looking at this Dodgers payroll. We were just sitting around during the break going over different things. You could take the bottom 5 teams in the league and you could fit them into that payroll. It is just a ridiculous reality that there are 2 teams, and, you know, one is the Dodgers putting together, I don't know, I mean, they're injury proof. Is that the point now that they've got so many? It doesn't matter who goes down. We just got another guy. And then I don't know what's going on with the Mets. I don't know how good they'll be, but good God, the rest of the world is struggling. And those 2 teams, one because of a great contract, television contract, the last great TV contract, and the other because the owner likes to spend money.
Yes, he does. I mean, the Dodgers, it's not so much the payroll, it's the deals they've made. Not just that TV deal which you referenced, but the players they've gotten at the prices they've gotten. I mean, Freddie Freeman, $162 million, 6 years, that is an amazing bargain. Mookie Betts, $365 million, I think it was 12 or 13 years, an amazing bargain. And there's no bargain like the Shohei Ohtani bargain, that a gift that just keeps giving. I mean, I know it's $700 million, but it's $680 million of it is deferred, so the actual value of it is not $70 million a year, but it's more like $40 to $45 million a year. And beyond that, they make $100 million plus in marketing and sponsorship on him. So they are actually making an enormous profit on that play. It's the only player in baseball where individually they make an enormous profit. So they can easily afford it, not just the TV contract, but the great contracts they've given out to their 3 best players. And, I mean, I know their payroll is the best, but their team is so much better than anybody else right now. I have never seen a favorite like this since I've been covering baseball. I think there's something like 5-2 or something like that. I think they should probably be even money to win the World Series. They're that good.
Wow. Well, they signed 2 relievers the Cubs were chasing, Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates, and they signed them just because maybe they were bored and they decided to fortify their bullpen. Michael Kopech is going to be injured, they think, or they're going to watch him carefully. But, John, the Cubs then had to pivot, and they traded for Ryan Pressly. Now, he's got high-leverage experience, certainly. He's also going to be 36, I believe. What do you think the Cubs have in Pressly, and how reliable do you think he could be at the end of that bullpen?
Yeah, I like Presley. I mean, he's 14 for 14 lifetime in saves in the postseason, which is obviously the best all time. I'm not going to say he's better than Mariano Rivera, but he has been very, very clutch. Now he is in his mid-30s, as you mentioned, and so he's, you know, slipped a little bit, at least based on last year. I think that could be attributed to the fact that he wasn't closing. You know, guys who are closers and do a different role often aren't as good in that other role for whatever reason. So now he's going to be back closing, and I like this at $8-9 million a year. I think this is a very good move. It's funny that the Cubs have now acquired their closer and, you know, their cleanup hitter from the Astros, and for not that much, really. So I give them credit. I think they're on the right track. I think they're doing well. And who knows? Maybe they'll do a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe they get their third baseman from them. Is that a possibility, John? Or do they now have enough money in Houston to perhaps bring back Bregman?
Yeah, that's the irony of this Presley trade. Does it now give Houston a better shot to keep Bregman and keep him away from the Cubs? I don't know. It's a small amount of money. The Bregman deal is going to be a long deal. It's going to be at least $156 million. That's what he was offered early on by Houston. My understanding is the Cubs are telling people, not necessarily me, but they're telling people, so this is secondhand, that they don't think it's a great chance that they end up with Bregman. I think they're hoping, or had been hoping at least, that he could do a Bellinger-type deal with a shorter deal with the opt-outs. And, you know, I think that's unlikely at this point because I'm hearing there are at least two teams that are willing to do that longer deal, one other team beside the Astros. So, I mean, they're in it. They're in. They're interested. Are their chances great? I mean, I do think there is an allure to playing for the Cubs, not the allure that there is to playing for the Dodgers, where everybody's just anxious to run over there. But, I mean, Presley did accept a deal when he has a full no trade for a reason. His family lives year-round in Houston to the Cubs. So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say they're a destination team, but, you know, I think that they have generally a positive reputation at this point.
It just sounded like, from the reports from the Astros winter convention, the fan convention, that they were planning on Bregman coming back. And I just wonder, are the other two teams, the Jays and the Red Sox, and are they more willing to go for longer terms than the Cubs sound like they're willing to go?
Well, I mean, the Astros are still on, obviously, as you guys mentioned, and they're willing to go long-term, apparently. And I think there is, like, this mystery team. I don't know whether it's Seattle or Toronto, potentially. Maybe they was willing to go 6 years because, I mean, this is a deal that's been out there for a while with a one-year opt-out, and he hasn't taken it. So I'm guessing it's a team maybe not high on his list. And, you know, maybe that's why the Cubs are still in this. I think the Cubs, Red Sox, Tigers are all involved to some degree. And, yeah, I mean, I think the Cubs have a shot, even though that they're at this moment, from what they're telling people, they're preferring that shorter deal. I'm not ruling them out by any means.
The White Sox held the Sox Fest last weekend, John, and it was they hadn't done that, hadn't gathered in a while, and it was interesting. It was a smaller version of what they used to do, but it was all about really the future and the past. Mark Burley was there. They're going to put a statue up for him. Great move. And the future looks bright with some of the young stars still in the minor leagues on the horizon, a couple of great left-handers. But meanwhile, the present is ongoing, and, you know, we were talking about it. They could be 20 games better. They could be the most improved team in baseball and still lose 100 games.
Yeah, that was quite a season they had last year. I don't think it can be duplicated. I don't think it's possible, no matter what the roster looks like. So I do think they're heading in the right direction. Obviously, they're coming from below everybody else by a lot. So they have a lot of work to do. You know, I do feel like they made a great trade when they with the Red Sox. I love that trade with Crochet when they get Keelan Montgomery back. I mean, a year ago, not even a year ago, at the deadline, the Dodgers were offering I think it was Ryan River and Gavin Lux. That's not even close to what they got. Teal and Montgomery have big potential. That's the kind of guys that they needed. Not a, somebody like Lux, I think, is a solid major leaguer, but he's got 2 years of service time now. They need guys with a big future, and I think they did the absolute right thing. So I think they're heading in the right direction. And I'm glad you mentioned Burley. I did vote for him for the Hall of Fame for the first time. I think he's down around 12%. Not going to get there, but I will say the guy, looking at his record, he's the most consistent player in Major League history. You know, you guys know better than I do, but...
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah,
I have been preaching.
Welcome.
I
mean, yes. John, welcome to the club. I voted for him too the last couple of years. The peer pressure got to me here, but I think nice to hear you on board too.
Yeah, I'm an anti-peer pressure. It never got to me with Piazza. I never voted for him. But I get it. And I certainly people change in votes, and I didn't vote for him previously. But, I mean, he has a 60 lifetime war. I know some people are anti-war, and we're all anti-war and the other kind of war. But I do think that has meaning. You know, Billy Wagner, who's in the Hall of Fame now, his lifetime at 28 war. This is a guy who's had twice the impact of a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, 60 war should be a real consideration. And I'm glad that he's still on the ballot. I hate that rule where we knock people off. We've knocked off Lou Whitaker and Keith Hernandez and Kenny Lofton and a ton of players that were worthy of at least longer consideration and maybe the Hall of Fame. So I don't like that rule, but I mean, Mark Burley, very, very underrated. The White Sox are doing a great thing with the statue. Well-deserved, really a very, very excellent, impactful, and consistent major league pitcher.
Now that you brought it up, do you know who didn't vote for Ichiro? And what did you think about the way that Ichiro responded?
That was so weird.
I don't know. I mean, all these guys, you know, they're all very prideful and they all have egos. I mean, I love Ichiro. His sense of humor came out. I think he was kidding. I know when Jeter came out and made a joke about it, Jeter has a great sense of humor, but he doesn't forget. He does hold a little bit of a grudge. I mean, it's amazing how these guys, he gets in with missing unanimity by one vote, and I don't want to say that's where his focus is, but this is on his mind. I know it's on our mind because we're naturally critical and we want to find this goofball, and we, you know, it's crazy that somebody didn't vote for Ichiro first 10 years. After he'd already had a Hall of Fame career in Japan, comes in at age 27, and his first 10 years, he has 200 hits, leads the league in hits 7 times, breaks the all-time record of Sisler, 257 hits, with 262, wins a Gold Glove in all 10 years. I mean, there was really no argument. I'd like to find out of curiosity, and I hope it's just, in his case, I hope it's just curiosity, and he feels a little bad that he might have done something wrong to somebody or something. I don't know, but I mean, these guys are, you know, I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't unanimous. Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, I don't think any of them were commenting on it at the time. It's funny how these guys, you know, strive for perfection. And, you know, he's the player that he is, whether there's one goofball in the world or not. So he shouldn't worry about it.
Great stuff, John. Great catching up with you.
Thanks, John.
All right. Always great, guys.
God bless. That is John Heyman. He's the best. Always fun to talk to him.
Yeah, I don't know how much attention the guy who didn't vote for Ichiro deserves, but he'll probably get it eventually, he or she, depending on who didn't vote to make Ichiro not a unanimous pick.
That made my day. Knowing that John Heyman, national guy, voted for Mark Burley for the Hall of Fame just made my day.
I've done it for the last several
years. I know,
years.
And it made my day every time you did it, and every time we talked about it. I was infuriated when you weren't voting for him.
Yeah, I know.
But
that only happened 1 year.
Yeah, but
I made him wait a year.
I think and I got no problem with that. I think Burley's career will age really well.
It has.
And the other thing is, he did everything you could possibly want to do in baseball.
I wonder if the statue will enhance his stature in the game. I maybe a silly thing to say, but you wonder if people view him differently and his legacy.
We got to get a list. Dustin, get a list of all the Hall of Fame voters. We'll have them on one at a time. Make a case. We'll see if we can turn some minds. Maybe some ankles, whatever it takes.
I don't like them falling off of the ballot like he mentioned a couple guys, Lou Whitaker.
Yes.
I think that Ken Lofton Jr. is a very interesting. Kenny Lofton being on the ballot, he has a case as well, but you can't really vote for these guys any longer.
No, you're right. I guess the old-timer committee, right?
Yeah, you could. But they could still get in.
How long are Jerry and Tony going to be able to squeeze in White Sox? That's what you got to ask yourself. At some point it ends.